morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening. This is the Fantasy College Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Tony DeMarco. Thank you, everybody, for joining us once again on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon or night. It's night when we're recording. I'm joined, as always, by the one, the only, Todd Shaftick. Todd, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I got good news from the doctor today. Things are looking good for my arm, so I'm in a good mood.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we were talking on the podcast a little bit, so everything looks good. You're getting range of motion back with it and everything, a little bit.
Yeah, he said he moved it around. He said, you know, it's still really tight and, you know, a little hard where the surgery, the scar is. But he's like, I'm not really worried about the tightness. He's like, I'm worried about your range of motion. And right now your range of motion is fantastic. You can, good, you know, twist the wrist. You can flex. So he's like, the stiffness will go away with more physical therapy, but mm-hmm. He's like, as far as your flex, you know, your range of motion is good. So he's like, I like, you know, everything looks really good for healing. So
nice. Good. Good to hear. Glad to hear it.
Thank you.
Well, on this day, August 11th, 2020, we got some kind of disheartening news in the sports world. The Big Ten, as well as Pac-12, I think, at the time of this recording, have canceled basically fall championships, I think. The fall football, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're looking for maybe a spring start. So what does the state of football mean for wrestling? A lot of people are saying it's going to be directly tied to it because a lot of these schools function on the money that comes in from football. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I'm not really worried about the big schools because they have so much money, you know. Mm-hmm. They have billions of dollars still, like, in the kitty.
Yeah.
Some of these smaller
schools, you would hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know, like, you know, schools like most of those Pac-12 schools, like, even Stanford, I mean, they said they had something like $57 billion in their, you know, for their in their school, but they weren't.
Yeah, it was like a $27 billion endowment.
Yeah. Yeah, but they couldn't use the endowment towards the sports for some weird reason. And
depends if it's a direct or not. But I'm sure there's some type of aspect of some endowment that goes to sports.
Yeah,
too.
But like I said, like Penn State, you know, Ohio State, you know, big SEC schools, they'll probably be fine for 1 year without football. But some of these fringe schools that literally their other teams are afloat just because of the money that football brings in, that can get ugly. You know, that could be where schools start cutting sports.
Yeah. I know a lot of schools, like not the big name schools, and I'm not using them as an example with wrestling, but Appalachian State would get money for playing Penn State. It's one of those things. And a lot of those schools depend on that money too. So to not have that revenue coming in. And then you and I were texting about it the other day when they were talking about potentially canceling football season. I think you don't have a football season and you maybe push it to the spring. That's very detrimental, but I think wrestling can still survive in it. I think it's really going to come down to basketball also, because I think basketball might be the only ad revenue share, or like tournament profit sharing that they have.
Everyone gets some of the money from that tournament.
Right, exactly. So if you get rid of that, we saw what it did this season when the NCAA March Madness tournament didn't happen. If you cancel that for a second straight season, I don't know. I hope that they athletic departments can all come together and say, look, we need to trim things here and there. We'll keep all the sports. It's not anything that they did wrong necessarily, you know, be it maybe Stanford doesn't need 27 athletic directors, but that's another story. But what do you think about that? What do you think?
I think, like you said, like for schools that where basketball is almost as big as football, like North Carolina, you know, North Carolina State, like those schools, like, you know, could North Carolina basketball not make money and then they cut the wrestling program? Like, unfortunately, yes, I could see that happening, which is terrible because North Carolina wrestling has really come a long way since Coleman Scott's taken over as a coach. So you don't want to see the schools that already are doing better and adding wrestling just then turn around and start cutting the sport. So
Yeah.
Hopefully, it's like you said, they can get the spring sports and the spring football season and you know, get the basketball season in, and hopefully, for our sake, get the wrestling season in sometime after Christmas.
Even if it's shortened, if it's a January 1st start. We wrote an article on Matt Scouts. You can go out and check it out, mapping a short NCAA Division I season, what that means. I think basically what it means is not a lot of individual tournaments. They're going to go more the route of quad meets, pool tournaments, things like that. And it's going to be very centralized. Travel expenses are going to be down a lot. You know, EIWA is kind of good in that, except for the Ivy League schools, of course. But you go up and down I-95.
Yeah.
There you go. You know,
yeah.
Those are basically all the schools, except for maybe like Bucknell and Bucknell's in the EIWA. But we'll see. I mean, we have positivity flowing. We're still writing the articles. We're going to finish up all the articles because, you know, that's what we do. We start it. We need something to do.
Yeah.
But enough of that. Wanted to talk to you about a movie I saw.
Oh.
So it just came on HBO Max, which apparently I have because I have HBO and all that. But I watched Jojo Rabbit.
I didn't hear about it.
Not a bad movie. I kind of liked it. I think it was an Oscar nominee for Best Picture. It's pretty cool. I recommend you go watch it. It takes place in 1944-ish, towards the end of World War II in Germany. It's about basically a kid growing up and like his imaginary friend is Hitler and everything. And he learns that, you know, what his thinking is incorrect, obviously, and all that. Oh, really cool. Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, really cool. I would definitely recommend it. But then I went 180 degree almost, and I started watching Doom Patrol. Did you see that?
No.
It's a DC comic type thing. Really enjoy that too. Like completely opposite end of the spectrum. And I'm not usually into Marvel action hero kind of things, but it's very Deadpool-like. It's rated R kind of slapstick, like making fun of itself that it's an action hero movie. You know?
Yeah.
Something like that. But
I caught a movie that got pretty good reviews, but I thought it was just, meh. So, you ever see Ex Machina?
No, yeah. I heard about it. I heard it was supposed to be really good.
Special effects were amazing. Some of the individual acting was good, but the story was kind of predictable. I kind of predicted what was going to happen about 15 minutes into the movie.
I haven't seen it, and sorry if I'm spoiling it, but I'm going to assume that the machine becomes sentient or whatever that is, sentient the word, like it becomes self-aware and it basically kills people.
Yeah, I would say that you weren't that far off from the bullseye on that.
Where's the originality nowadays with like The Fly? Why can't someone make a movie like The Fly? Or I watched Jurassic Park the other day. It's on Netflix. Still holds up. Yeah. Still holds up. Everything about the movie.
I tried to watch with a friend of mine. I don't know why it was on. We tried to watch Jurassic Park 3. It was terrible.
No, stick with the first one.
The third one was, my God, was it bad.
It was a money grab. Just stick with it.
The script was paper thin, and how they all got back to the island. Like, why the hell anybody would go back to an island with dinosaurs on it when everybody got devoured the first time they went? But, you know, and like you said, it was just a cash grab. And even the special effects, even though the movie was like 6 or 7 years later, didn't look nearly as good as the original movie. So I don't even think they put the money into it. I think they kind of just released it to go right to DVD.
Probably. Stick with the one. It's some of those movies where they make sequels and everything. Just stick with the first one. Pretend like Arrested Development. I kind of don't watch the fourth and fifth seasons or whatever. I just kind of stick with the first three, and that's the good memories.
The fond memories. You want to keep that.
Right. So, also, our last podcast, you were talking about National Cookie Day.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, like I said, I'm trying to be a little bit better with my eating, a little bit healthier and everything like that. But obviously there's a little bit of sympathy weight gain in a pregnancy. My wife comes back from the Lancaster outlets, and there's a Pepperidge Farm outlet.
There, oh yeah.
Right. So yada, yada, yada. Did you know they make toasted marshmallow Milano cookies?
No,
but that sounds delicious. They're fucking delicious. They're so good. And she comes in with like two bags full of like goldfish and cookies and everything like that. I'm like, well, I guess I can wait till after the baby's born to actually start losing weight, right? Yeah.
The day after tomorrow is when I'm going to start.
Like I say, diet starts Monday.
Yeah.
Whenever I go off track, diet starts Monday. You know. Well, enough of that. This was a very fun episode podcast for us. We talked about Tiger Style, Missouri, and their upcoming season. And we had the one, the only, the money coach, Cornell Robinson, on with us. Hope you guys enjoy it as much as we did. We may be off next week. We may not have a podcast next week. We'll keep you updated on that. But Todd, anything else for the good of the cause before we let them listen to our random ramblings?
No, a great guest. It's really a must listen. So, you know, tune in, click in, watch, whatever, listen. And Coach Robinson does a great job as the guest for us.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for clicking. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the show. All right, everybody. Let me see what shirt I'm wearing today. Today I got Missouri wrestling, which means that we must be talking to someone from Missouri, someone everybody knows, Coach Cornell Robinson. Coach, welcome to the Fantasy College Wrestling Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Sorry, I messed up the introduction there.
That's fine, whatever.
Thanks for having me on the podcast, man. Nothing more I like talking about than wrestling and just talking to wrestling people, man. Thanks to you and Ty. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And, of course, we're joined by Todd Shaftick. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I had my follow-up with my surgeon today, and everything looks normal, and he said I should be able to start lifting weights again probably in about 6 weeks. So
awesome. Good to hear.
I was really happy to hear that.
No time like the end of beach season, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just glad that I can lift again eventually.
Yeah.
Sure, you guys going to the beach in Pennsylvania, right?
We go down the shore as well.
Oh,
we
sure. Yeah. Okay.
The Jersey Shore, Ocean City, Maryland, you know, all that. But thanks again for coming on, joining us. And we're going to talk about Missouri, one team. So hopefully we keep it to an hour. I know you got a hard stop and everything. But before we even get into that, let's do a little bit of origin story. Coach, how did you get the money coach?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I forgot you're going to ask me that. That's a good question. Right? And since you said we're loose here, right. I'll tell some of the real story to it. Yeah. So basically, I used to be a coach at a high school called Timberland High School. And I'm going to give long but short version. And make a long story short, I'm a teacher in the district too. And, you know, we built up this Little League program. And we had this Little League program that was booming. And I knew every kid from second grade all the way to senior. So I was like getting to know everybody in the community. And with that, our Little League program really started booming. And, you know, I was, I'm up there to like 9 o'clock at night, and I was doing private lessons with kids. You know, I'm up there making money, but my superintendent didn't think that was good for me to make money doing extra stuff using the building coaching. I'm like, it's okay for me to be up there. I just can't make money off of it.
Gotcha.
So make a long story short, I end up making one of these parents mad who I'm helping the most, right? So I'm helping them the most and getting our kids better. So they call themselves going to tell the superintendent how I'm making money and I'm coaching eighth graders. And this was a big deal, like in the Missouri rules, that you can't coach eighth graders if they're going to your high school. Like, okay. So these eighth graders can be in my class and they're going to my high school, but if I coach them, I'm recruiting them.
Right. Why should you allow to coach kids that are going to be your wrestlers someday?
Right. And so, make a long story short, one of the eighth graders, we were getting a new high school, and his parents didn't want to go to new high school, so they bought a house to stay in the district. And this one of the parents was mad at him, mad at them, saying they're going to start over him. So they went to the superintendent and said, hey, he's making money. He's doing private lessons. And so the superintendent got mad and suspended me. And then the rumor was, hey, he's all about the money. All he wants is the money. So I ended up going to CBC, and I was like, well, I did my punishment. Like, we were, you know, we thought we were going to win state that year for the first time in St. Louis. But because they suspended me for 2 months. I mean, they treated me worse than NFL. They suspended me for 2 months, no coaching pay. I couldn't go watch the kids wrestle and couldn't go to a practice.
What?
Yeah, and I didn't get to coach until like February when it's almost state time.
Oh,
how crazy is that?
That's
over
crazy.
Coaching kids in my district. So I took my punishment like a man, and I was like, I'm out. And I ended up going to CBC. So what the rumor is around Missouri that I was this coach all about money and I'm not doing nothing before the money. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to embrace it. And
own
now
it.
I call myself the money coach.
I like it.
Yeah. So I took it on that. And then, and also I just say, hey, I'm money. I'm going to bet on myself. I can go win regardless where I'm at. Right.
Awesome. I like it. I like it a lot.
That's how the story came about.
That's sweet. And, so, and also congratulations, because you were also named the cadet head coach too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
before this whole thing happened.
Yeah. And it's a good thing too, because I talked to Bickley a month ago and that I still get to be the cadet coach for this year coming up if we get to travel.
Good. And, and this is just me because I'm more of a folk style guy. I don't follow freestyle as closely as I probably should, but any word on cadet tournaments and anything like that in the coming months? I know everything's kind of still up in the air when it comes to even Olympics.
Yeah, I know the cadet stuff is done. I know the UWW junior trials they're going to have after the senior trials. You know, you saw that come out in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking about having the UWW junior trials in Ohio. But I don't think that's going to happen either. And I actually had Yuri Maier. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but he's the sports director of United World Wrestling. I had him on our podcast, and he was saying it probably won't be a world until we can run the regionals, like meeting the Pan Am and the Continentals.
Right.
Before, so it is not looking good. But
and that's taking a whole bunch of different countries too, as one. So not just United States getting on the same page with it, but also getting all those other countries. That could be a whole cluster.
Yeah. I'm pretty sad about the cadets because I think I had a few that were going to make some noise and able to be on the team. It's pretty cool when, you know, your kid makes the team and you're the coach of it, right?
So yeah,
I'm pretty sad about that.
Now, when you're coaching between high school and you know, international like that, obviously there's probably stuff that you take from your high school coaching that you use for the cadets and vice versa. But how much is there anything that you have to do differently necessarily when you're coaching the cadets compared to the high school kids?
Yeah, I think it's not too much different. You don't have to do as much, be honest with you. You know, the kids are so good, right?
Uh-huh.
So high school, you know, you got your, like for my team, you got kids who want to be world medalists and make a world team, and you got kids who are on the team because mommy and daddy made them go out for a sport.
Right.
So you got to kind of juggle those two together. You know, when you're coaching a world team, everybody's there for a world medal. So really you got to do less.
Right. Oh, that is true.
You got to do less and just kind of, you know, give them a good environment and make them feel like they're the best.
It's a little bit of Ronco. You just set it and forget it. Just let them do their own thing.
It was funny. I was telling a story today, my first Pan Am trip. I know you got short time. I'll keep it short. It's funny.
No, it's fine.
So we had on this team, I had Nick Lee, JoJo Smith, Caden G. Feller, Dayton Fix, Bobby Stevenson, Mason Manville. I mean, it was just some dudes, right?
An okay team.
Yeah, it was some dudes. And JoJo Smith and Nick Lee were just doing freestyle. And most on a Pan Am trip, you got to do both styles.
Mm-hmm.
And the other coach, it's like the day before competition. It's kind of what I tell you, like, you want to do less with these kids. They're already ready. It's after Fargo. You know, they've been through the grind. Yeah. You know, their parents might pay $1,500 for the trip. So you want to make sure everybody competes.
Mm-hmm.
And man, this other coach started making JoJo Smith go with Mason Manville, Greco lie. And I was like, man, you sure you want to do this? You know, it's a day before we compete. And I mean, Manville launched JoJo Smith and he like split his cheek. I was like, man, if JoJo Smith don't get the wrestle because of stitches, John Smith is going to have your head.
Yeah, of all people to potentially piss off.
Right. So, but yeah, it's good times, man. I love those trips.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, let's get into it because, like I said, you know, we only have one team, so hopefully we don't go over our hour allotment here because I know you got the hard stop. Let's do our little gimmick thing. Anybody drinking anything on this podcast?
Do the guests get to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm promoting here because I want him to sponsor me. That's Project Rock, The Rock, Under Armour water bottle comes with the thing for your AirPods and your phone and your wallet. So I'm drinking on water, cold water in here. Nice. From my The Rock.
That thing's tight, man. That's really nice.
Yeah, hopefully he listens to our podcast. Todd, what about you? You drinking anything?
Yeah, I got, I go seltzer more than beer these days. But I got a really good one. It's called Crook and Marker.
And what flavor?
Blackberry lime. It's delicious.
Blackberry lime.
Only 80 calories. So.
Well, why seltzer, Todd?
Beer just, I get headaches off beer nowadays.
You old man.
But yeah, I'm getting old. it's kind of strange because it does run in my family. Other family members that I've spoken to have also said that they get headaches like more often off of beer as they got older. So I still have a couple cold ones every once in a while, but if I have more than like 3 or 4, I get a really bad headache. It kind of sucks, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you got to transition to maybe some spiked seltzers. Maybe throw some of those in there. Get the best of both worlds.
A vodka tonic or something, maybe.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm going to go with some PA Independent Brewing Sunshine Pilsner by Trogs. If you're familiar with the, Giant Center, you know, that Trogs is right there, right down the road. So,
yeah, right there.
Given the uncertainty of this upcoming wrestling season to begin with, why not drink one for
Hershey, States. PA?
Hershey, PA.
Hershey,
yeah.
PA.
Yeah. Oh, and like I said, we're all over the place here. We have no schedule. You were saying before we even started recording, you're close to my area. You coached at Cheney?
Yeah, I did. I used to coach college football at Cheney University for a year. Some of the craziest times of my life up there, for sure. But yeah, man, I loved it up there and recruited a lot of kids from Glenn Mills. And it was some good football up there, man. Not too far. It was Joe Namath and who else is from that town, Pennsylvania? It was like Joe Namath and somebody else, quarterbacks wise. Miami coach, Miami quarterback.
Gase?
Emery?
Frank Reich, I think, used to be in this area, right?
Are you guys talking about PA or just the area?
Just PA. It was a PA area that I always remember seeing these two legends there.
Out in Western PA, you have a bunch of guys. You got Joe Montana, Dan Marino.
Okay,
maybe Jim Thorpe.
Joe Montana and Dan Marino.
Don't forget Jim Thorpe.
That's out by Pittsburgh area.
Yeah. I just remember seeing their billboard every time we went down there or something like that.
Yeah.
And Glenn Mills, unfortunately, their school is shut down. You can go online and read about it and everything, but they were basically a reform school, and they had a rule that if you were at the school that you had to play some type of sport. And we actually used to go to Glenn Mills for a preseason scrimmage. It would be like us and like Harry S. Truman or Todd, what other schools would usually be in our scrimmage with them?
I think East came a couple of times.
Westchester East would come sometimes. And I mean, you get some kids that it came naturally to them. Some kids knew about wrestling. Some thought, oh, I'm not going to do track. I don't want to run. I'll do wrestling instead. That sounds better. Not knowing what they're getting themselves into. And the Glenn Mills room, I don't know if you remember, Coach, they had maybe 7-foot ceilings.
Yeah.
And it was next to the boiler room, so it got real hot.
They had two heaters in the room that ran.
Yep.
Second hottest room I've ever been in, besides the high school that I went to. But
that's a sauna.
It was 80-some degrees in there. And it was a beautiful wrestling room. It was really nice. They had padded walls. You know, the mat was into the floor. Real long, beautiful wrestling room. But, they kept the heat on. It was 80-some degrees in there. I would lose 5 pounds just coaching.
Mm. Like, you weren't even doing anything.
Wrestling. I'm just sweating. And it was hot in there.
Yeah, just
feel it.
Yeah, Glenn Mills, man, those coaches were tough on the guy. I know I told the story. You mind if I tell it?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So I remember we recruited a kid. I want to say his last name was Bird. Can't remember his first name, but I remember his last name was Bird. We recruited him. The NCAA compliance hadn't came through yet. We were playing Cal State PSAC school.
Cal PA, yeah.
Yeah, Cal PA. And, and the coach was like, I mean, it was so bad. Like, he snuck on the bus. He was like hiding down from the AD. I mean, that stuff goes on at Cheney. It was crazy. And anyway, he wasn't supposed to play. They switched jersey with an eligible player, put him in the game, opening kickoff, break his ribs. We had to take him to the hospital. Oh, my God. I mean, college wrestling, college football, those guys are trying to win. bad. I think, you know, wrestling might eventually get that way. I don't know. But, and that was Division II, right? So I could imagine what goes on Division I.
And we were also talking before we started recording, probably one of the biggest names wrestling-wise to go through Glenn Mills was Callahan Bright, who I think was from Harrington originally, but first year wrestling, made it to States, PA States, AAA, and he picked up Mike Spade from Boyertown and threw him like a rock, like just like you were skipping stones on the leg or something, just picked him up. And Spade was he was one of those guys who was towards the 285 portion of heavyweight, not the lower end. and he never, I think he got disqualified from the tournament or something like that. And he never wrestled again because he just couldn't make weight. He was just too heavy. Football was his sport, you know?
Yeah.
But needs to say, after that happened at Cheney, that's when I knew I was leaving, though. I don't want people to think I promoted this. Even though I was a young coach. And it's crazy, you know, at these coaches level, you know, these college coaching, man, you're a young coach. And, you know, it's hard to go against the grain if you don't believe something, man. So I didn't say a lot, but I knew at that moment I was out.
It's better to be considered the money coach.
Yeah, you got to be careful how many, you know, the waves that you make when you're a young coach, you know. Right. You kind of try to go with the current.
Yeah.
It's you know, but sometimes you got to stand up. I mean, not to bring up super bad stuff, but look at Penn State. I mean, that's a rough situation.
Yeah. So. Well, let's get in some happy news.
Okay. Casting a shout out to my sponsor. He always giving me good gear.
Absolutely.
Battle Gear, you know, if you didn't see the hat, Battle Gear, he actually makes our shirt for our podcast, The Money Round. Nice. So you guys got to get Battle Gear, man. Get Battle Gear, some of the best sports apparel in the game, man.
Hey, I'll take Tic Tacs as a sponsor. Anybody.
I told him I was coming on the show, so I told him I'd give him a shout out too. So
yes, absolutely. So basically, just to run down, if this is your first podcast you're listening, welcome. If this is the fifth episode that you're listening to, welcome back. And we're basically going to be recklessly speculating on what Missouri's lineup could look like, a fantasy potential of that lineup. Obviously, today is the 11th of August, 2020, and news is coming out about football programs and conferences basically shutting down until January 1st, maybe playing into the spring. What that means for wrestling and other sports, I don't know, but we'll see. That's all we can do is just sit and wait and see. But we're going to speculate that a miracle drug comes out. We're starting November 1st. All the teams are going to be ready. Nobody's going to be taking a red shirt.
You got to think positive, right?
Exactly. Put that good chi out into the air and hopefully you get something back, some karma. But for Missouri, 12-7 dual record last year. Some key graduates for their team, 141, Alex Butler, 13-7 at 141. 157, Philip Deloche, if I'm saying that right, 13-6. Luke Fortuna, 14-6 at 165. And then you get into some of the starters, Connor Flynn, 174, who was 27-12 last year. He was number 28, actually, in fantasy points. Dylan Wissman, 19-8, who actually took, if I remember the duel, I think it was in Missouri, took Zahid kind of to the brink last season. He was number 25 in fantasy points. And then Austin Myers, he was 1-2. But with Zach Elam on Olympic redshirt, he, I think, was the starter 2 years ago. I think he had a couple starts here. But I think the biggest one was Jaden Ironman transferring from Iowa or to Iowa. You know, I joke, he changed in his black and gold singlet for a black and gold singlet. And that, you know, I think for the team it worked out. It's just Missouri, that's a big piece of your team points that you lose with a transfer like that.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge loss. I know, but you never know. I think, you know, when you know how it is when you're coaching teams and you have these superstars, sometimes is it a headache? Sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Right, so, right.
You know, it's sometimes that stuff is hard to manage sometimes, man. So, personally, for points-wise, I know it's bad for sure.
Yeah, but I'll say I don't have a favorite NCAA team. I, you know, only started following after I actually graduated college is when I really got into watching D1 and doing fantasy wrestling to get me involved with it. But the team I root for is the one I draft on draft day. but I'll say when I first went to Nationals and started watching Nationals, I was really impressed with Missouri because that was right around when I was graduating in 2011 was right around, I think, Ben Askren, I think. And that was their first national champ, I think. And what Brian Smith can do with not necessarily the high recruiting classes this year, obviously, is different. He has one of the top recruiting classes in the nation. But for what he did with local talent and stuff like that, and the story of Jaden Cox coming to Missouri too, I like that. I like seeing kind of the underdog be a national contender with coaching that way and getting those guys to kind of wrestle up almost in a sense.
And I'm going to throw this in for Brian Smith. I don't know if people have met him, but he's a real good man. That's one. As a coach and mentor, like for me, I can call Brian Smith anytime and he gives me advice. And actually gave me advice on that situation I was telling you about earlier, about me being suspended and that whole deal, how I got the money coach. I mean, he was in my corner. I called him almost every day. And then when I got the chance to go to CBC, he was like, you got to go.
Oh, that's it's really
better
cool.
for you. So yeah, now Brian Smith is a good dude, good man, for sure.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. But yeah, that, I mean, Missouri as a whole, and plus they're those singlets. I like the tiger singlets. But so let's get into the lineup here. We're looking at 125. From a fantasy perspective, all these guys were kind of equal last season. I think Valdivia's was the starter. He was 20-12 last year, 50% bonus number 41 in fantasy points at that weight. But then you look at, and coach, you might be a little bit biased here because you have one of your guys at 125.
You know, you did your homework.
But certain Severato, did I say that right?
Yep, Severato.
Severato and Dak Punky, I think it's Punky, national qualifier in 2019. Now his record was 11-12. And he was about 500 last season with single digit bonus. But all those guys, it's kind of the A beats B, B beats C, C beats A kind of thing. And I think that's going to be one of their biggest kind of roster battles, especially early on between all those guys.
Yeah, it's, I think Punky was definitely, I thought might be ahead of him, but I think he just dealt with so many injuries. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he ever get out of that funk. Certain is definitely one to watch. I think I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I can't say too much because I definitely want my guy Savion Severato.
It's okay. You can be biased on here. Sorry.
All right. I'm going to be biased. I want Savion to take
it. He's going to win the national championship. So
yeah. He's going to beat Spencer Lee and beat them all. But Certain is definitely one to watch for. Valdivia's, man, I think his style just provides so much difficulty for guys.
And, yeah.
So I don't know, but like you said, somebody's going to have to rise to the top for them to make some noise at the NCAA. Hey, hopefully they push each other, right?
Now, yeah, and I'll say Certain last year, I have here in the doc, he was 2-1 against Severato because they obviously all went to the same tournaments. And he was 0-1 against Valdivia's. So, like I said, A beats B, B beats C, C beats A kind of thing. But from a fantasy standpoint, I kind of like situations like this because you're getting kind of starter production from a guy who's right behind the starter. So you go to a Lindenwood Open, I wouldn't have a problem putting Certain in at the Lindenwood Open and expecting him to be a finalist in that. That's kind of the thing I look for. I don't like roster battles that kind of go into the mid season when you hit South Beach Duels and Midlands scuffle because then you're alternating starting spots and you don't know who to start and that becomes a whole thing with duels. But 125, I don't know I would draft anybody, but I would keep all these guys kind of on a short list moving forward.
I'm gonna tell you this, and just because I'm biased and I've seen him work and I've seen him do something unbelievable in his wrestling career, Savion Severato, if his head is on straight and the coaches can pull it out of him and he wants it, I think is his spot for the grab. I mean, I say he was a Greco World Silver Medalist.
Right.
Nobody thought that was happening. He was the first one to be in the USA finals before Kamel Bay got in since 1999, and they were on the same team. Yeah, so he went over there not expecting to do crap and made it to the Greco Junior World Finals and lost to a tough kid from Iran.
Wow.
So and every year for me, when I started coaching him, every cadet and junior world team trial, he was in the finals.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I have never had a tournament. Now, he had a trouble winning the gold, but he didn't have trouble making the finals. Yeah. And it's funny, though. I did take this from the college football coach that I coached with. He said, if a kid makes a lot of sacks in high school, you know what he's going to do when he gets to college? He's going to make a lot of sacks.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So you recruit people on their numbers. And I think, you know, like I said, you know, wrestling is kind of hard, but I know if somebody's pinning a lot in high school, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully they come pinning a lot in college. But yeah, I think if Savion's head is on right and he wants it and he can, you know, train tough, I think the talent is there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a 44% bonus last year. So bonused almost half of his opponents, which is good for, you know, fantasy wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, too, I think that new coaching staff they got, I think that'll help. I think that helps them out a little bit. You know, just always add. Right. It was their first year all together, so.
Yeah. And another roster battle moving up to 133. Really, I don't. So you get Matthew Schmidt in from Utah Valley as a new transfer. Last year you had Connor Brown transfer in from Wisconsin. Once South Dakota State, then Wisconsin. Now he's at Missouri. He only wrestled 11 matches. Four were against D1 competition, but he was 3-1 in that D1 competition. He was injured when he was at Wisconsin. He had a couple matches, I think, but he was starter potential too. With a lot of the uncertainty with the season and some programs getting cut, like Old Dominion, rest in peace, the transfers, I'm a little head scratching with it. Mikhail McGee goes to Arizona State, who already has, you know, Klebove, and they have Ramo, and you have Courtney, and you had who else was Kramer graduated, but you have all those guys. You basically have like four or five guys for three spots. So I don't know. Obviously, you want the best of the best to be in your lineup, but I think Schmidt coming in here, good wrestler. He had was 18-8 in 2016 or 2019, I believe, with a 42% bonus rate. But Alan Hart is no pushover either, who was already there.
Actually, did Schmidt All-American at West Virginia? He did, didn't he?
I think he was around a 12.
Let me bring up the All-American one. Yeah,
he might have All-American. Let me see here. I'm looking at Schmidt. He was around a 16 in 2018. And then he was I said he was from Utah Valley. He's from West Virginia. Transfer in from West Virginia. He was a national qualifier in 2019 where he went, I believe, 1-2.
Okay.
Man, and then last year was injury, I think. But, yeah, I mean, you have him, Hart, and Connor Brown kind of vying for that one spot.
I think that's going to be Schmidt. I would say, I mean, I think so too. I think Schmidt, but here's my thing. I wouldn't be surprised if Schmidt go up to 141 either. So that might change everything as well. So
yeah.
And pretty big.
And with the uncertainty of the season, I think there's a lot of roster moves that Smith can do.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that, but they did get a top recruit, Trey Crawford, number 151 on Matt Scouts. And they have two other 131 is kind of loaded for them.
Is that Edmund too, or is Edmund? Oh, Edmund's 41. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know that. I feel like that's going to be a roster battle between those three guys: Schmidt, Hart, and Brown.
Yeah, I watched Schmidt wrestle this fall at the New York Athletic Club. Even though he wrestled Greco, mm-hmm. and that dude is tough. I mean, he was there with some of the best in our country. I think he took third. Yeah. He was able to hand fight with a lot of tough Greco dudes. So I'm putting my money on Schmidt.
I like Greco guys because they're never out of it.
Right. So I put my money on Schmidt. I think those other guys are good, but Schmidt right now, and Connor, I don't know. I don't know where he's at in a while. No, that's a lot of transfers, you know?
Right. Yeah. But hey, Brian Smith is going to welcome him with open arms, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Smith's going to figure out, find something for him. They want to start. They're going to get in there. So.
Right. But you were saying with 141 then, looking at Grant Leith enters his seventh year of competition and kind of skip. Yeah, and kind of skipping ahead to 149. Coming into this year before the pandemic and everything like that, I think there were rumors that Brock Mahler was going to take a red shirt because he still has his original red shirt available. So I think Leith AA'd at 49 and maybe the weight cut with an injury history, maybe that's just a little bit too much. Maybe he goes 149 for the upcoming season. Yep. One of those guys steps in at 141 who doesn't make 133.
Yep.
Possibly.
Yeah, I could definitely see Smith being 141, dude. And I can see that playing out if they do take if Mahler takes a red shirt or a gray shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that happening.
What do you think, Todd? Leith at 141 or 149?
With his, if you're going to redshirt Mahler anyway, it probably makes more sense to get Leith back to 149 where he doesn't have to cut as much weight. Maybe he's a little healthier, you know, he doesn't have to worry about the weight cut as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, you know, Brock Mahler would still have, what, 2 years left?
So
it makes a lot of sense, I think, to try to do something like that, try to bolster the lineup while also, you know, giving one of your better guys a redshirt to take this year.
And the whole redshirt thing, nobody talks to us. We don't have any connections with anybody. This is all
either, so.
Reckless speculation. Didn't ditch. But
Kel Sanderson calls me every single
night. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you this. You know, I've been talking to a lot of dads who kids are in college, and I would advise them the red shirt or gray shirt this time. I mean, if you can do it, I would do it now because, I mean, you're lucky if the season starts in January, right? But we're being positive.
Right, right. Well, Todd and I were texting the other night, and we were kind of saying, is it too late to like unenroll from college without it hurting? Because if I'm an incoming freshman, I might just take a year off if that's a possibility, just to preserve everything. We don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it goes into money too, because if you're on campus, you know, like I'm throwing his name out there because I'm doing it. I talk to his dad all the time, Josh Saunders, right? He's at Cornell. And I talk to his dad every day because he bugs me and he's crazy. But, you know, we were just having this conversation. I'm like, well, he's on campus now, so I don't know.
I don't know.
That messes up your money, right?
And those Ivy guys are in a whole nother thing because they were the first ones to come out with the January 1st start. So, fantasy-wise, that puts you behind the eight ball way ahead. That's going to hurt their average draft positions, obviously. Yanni is going to – possibly win another national title, but if he's not, for fantasy purposes, if he's not wrestling half the season, I don't know if I draft him in the first round.
And I don't think Ivy, like you said, Ivy League can do that, so I don't want to scare anybody who's Cornell homers. You know, that was just me and his dad talking craziness, so I'm pretty sure Rob Cole's not having that.
Yeah. But so we were also talking about Josh Edmond, number 39 recruit on Matt Scouts.
That was a big pickup.
Huge pickup. I mean, their recruiting class was insane, Missouri. Right. And I'm glad to see it, too. And we'll get to the later weights. You get Rocky Elam in, too, the, you know, 1-2 punch with his brother. But if Mahler takes a red shirt and Leith stays at 141, I don't know. Mitchell Bolkin is the guy there. In red shirt, he was 20-12 last season, but he was 500 against D1 competition. You can obviously make jumps. You know, freshman redshirt season into your next season, but I don't know. He might just be kind of a placeholder at this point. I wouldn't feel safe putting him into a lineup just yet.
Yeah, I would definitely hold off for that for the fantasy one. I mean, I don't know him as well. Not saying that he's not good just because I don't know him, but you know, it takes some work. One thing I can say, like you said, Brian Smith and the staff, I think they do some good. They develop some guys and. I know as a whole state, we're really excited about Tyrell Todd. I really like him.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the best things. I think I say it on every podcast. With fantasy wrestling, every guy, every wrestler has their day. You know, they have that dual meet that they win that makes you win your week, or they go into a tournament where they just ball out and they end up winning it and nobody saw that coming. You know, those kind of last minute transfer portal pickups for you on your roster.
That transfer portal changed the game, didn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it did. You can thank Suriano for messing the whole thing up and not having to sit out a year.
Yeah, Suriano he did change that. Yeah, how did that happen? That's Big Ten to Big Ten. Everybody's doing it.
I can't believe they relented on that. I really can't.
Yeah. Not that it wasn't deserved, because obviously they take into account like hardship, and I don't know what was said. I don't have any inside dealings. But regardless of whether it was a legitimate hardship or not saying that it wasn't, but that was going to be precedent for everything else that we're seeing now. Transfers from school to school. Maybe for wrestling, though, it's good because, you know, we're below 80 programs on a D1 level. So if you can spread out the top name guys, I say do it.
Yeah, for sure. It was a big deal. I mean, how crazy was that? It was like, he's wrestling, he's not wrestling.
He's wrestling in the basement right now.
Then they said Kel Sanderson kept him in there to mess up the bracket in. I mean, that's genius.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was total mind manipulation.
That's genius. He did
I don't think there was any plan of him ever actually wrestling. They just kind of said he was going to wrestle anyway.
And that was just for bracket purpose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
what's wrong with that, though?
If they would have taken him out, it would have shifted everything. I think, what was it? Piccinini would have been from, I think, like the fifth seed. He would have gone to the fourth, or no, he would have. It was something about Piccinini being on the bottom.
Right, right. It would have given him a better draw, right?
Right. Something like that. Point. Oh, like, my God.
People were so upset about that. I mean, I guess as another coach, I guess. If I'm a rival coach, I'm upset.
Yeah. Right? but as a fan, you're like, ah.
I mean, that's that coaching, smart. Right? That's coaching. That's why they're winning, man.
The Houston Astros stole signs, and they're still the champs.
Yeah, and let's not talk about the New England Patriots in 2001.
Yeah. I'm an Eagles fan. St. Louis, yeah, right? Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, Houston Astros. Right, they're still champs.
I think they're changing their name to Houston Asterisks.
Yeah, there should be an asterisk by there. You get somebody signs in baseball and football, it's a whole nother game. You two steps ahead by then.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's not really too much sign stealing or anything in wrestling when the other coach is yelling, "Sprawl! Shoot the left leg!"
Wrestling, you got to go out there and do it. So that's the good thing about wrestling. That's probably, I think, what draws me to wrestling out of every sport that I coach. It's just so pure.
Yeah. It's you and your competitor, middle of the mat. Sometimes you're lucky you get the little spotlight, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good sport, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, moving on to 157, Jarrett, and I know I'm going to say this wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Jacques Hughes.
Some people say Jacques. I think it's Jacques Hughes.
Jacques Hughes.
Yeah.
Last year, number 16 in fantasy points, with a 31% bonus, going 25-7. I think he was kind of under the radar, nationally speaking.
Yeah, he had a lot of close matches last year. He won a lot of one-point matches, which is good and bad, right? You want bonus, but bottom line, you're going to have to win one-point matches at the national tournament. So I thought he was going to have a – you know, he was going to come back and bite him, or he's going to win a lot more one-point matches at the NCAA tournament. But he was definitely in the hunt for sure.
Yeah, the beginning of the season, he lost, I think, his first match. I think last year they wrestled Virginia Tech before doing the Southeast Open, something like that. He went 13-1, and then South Beach Duels, I think he went like 1-3 or something like that. So the beginning of the season was great for him. And then he was kind of so-so afterwards. It wasn't consistent a lot. Kind of, I don't want to say limped into the national tournament, but it wasn't as steady as you'd like to see from a fantasy manager.
Now, did he win the – him and Brock both won the MAC, right?
Yes, I believe so. I mean,
I think I'm confused. I think Brock had a little bit more 1-point match wins over everybody and was just winning. So, and Jared did too, but I think I'm confusing them both. They went to the same high school. They always kind of been back, like back to back when they wrestled in high school. So sometimes I confuse them too a little bit. But
they just didn't want different training partners or wrestling partners in the room.
Right. That's all. And I mean, they've been back to back, like one after the other, each from every year they wrestled in high school.
No. So, Jarrett did not win. He lost to Della Vecchia because now the EWL and MAC are combined. That was the first year of them doing it. So
where's Della Vecchia from?
Ryder.
Ryder. Oh, yeah. Ryder had a decent year last year.
Yeah, and he's coming back, too. I think he was a senior last year, but I think he got a sixth year. I could be wrong about that. Okay. But he has a red shirt available. So with this upcoming season, I'm thinking maybe him and Mahler, you know, one more year. Why not? They're both going to redshirt. The interesting thing on WrestleStat, though, the two backups that they have at 157 are both true freshmen.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe to not cause a logjam in the future, maybe one of those guys starts and you'll kind of offset those red shirts.
Frankowski actually was at the Naval Academy last year. So okay. I don't know if he redshirted there or what, but he transferred at the end of the year to Missouri. So
do the armed forces, like Army, Navy, all that, do they have red shirts? Or
so
do
I don't know, you can take a red shirt, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure like you can. Ivy, right?
Yeah. They sometimes will send you to like a prep school or like a gray shirt kind of thing. But once your clock starts there, man, they want you to serve. So no extra years.
So he transferred from the Naval Academy. I don't know if it was because of, no, I'm not saying it because of coaching change or what, but a lot of people change from the Naval and West Point after 2 years.
Right.
I mean, that's the limit you got. You got that 2 years to figure out if you're going to stay or not stay.
Yeah, right. And if it was for coaching change, so be it. I mean, Navy got themselves a decent coach to stand in with.
Coli. You know. I have to question Coli. He was on my podcast, and he had never heard of Popeye's chicken. So I really have to question his coaching ability if he never heard of Popeye's chicken.
Wait, now. Really? He was in North Carolina for a while too, right?
I know. I promise you got to go back and watch that episode. I this dude did not know what Popeye's chicken was. I'm like, Coach Coli, I'm really surprised.
Wow. That's disappointing.
Well, okay, so the debate going on one of our many tangents that we usually do. Popeyes or Chick-fil-A when it comes to the chicken sandwich, because there was that whole thing.
That's one of our questions too. I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer. I had Chick-fil-A in 2013 and threw up and haven't touched it since. So I'm Popeyes chicken all the way.
I remember in Philly, they were talking about when the Popeyes chicken sandwich first came out. Someone actually got stabbed over it. Yeah, like, because they tried to cut in line or something. People were crazy going for this chicken sandwich.
Hey, that chicken sandwich is so fire. It is good. I cannot lie. It is good.
Now, I'll say I'm a Chick-fil-A guy only because in this area, we don't have Popeyes.
Oh,
so,
sorry for you.
I know. It's almost the Sheetz and Wawa debate that we had with Dyson last week. You know, you're either Wawa or Sheetz. There's no middle ground. It's Hatfield and McCoy's, you know.
So there is a Popeyes in Coatesville.
Is okay. there?
Yeah.
Coatesville. All right. Well, maybe I'll have to take a day trip on my for a lunch break.
But that's how, like, where I live at now was no Popeyes. And then, like, 2 years ago, they finally got one. And right in time for the Popeyes chicken sandwich. So it was awesome. So, like, every Sunday, I would make, like, an hour drive away to go get some Popeyes.
Just like the first time I ever heard of Popeyes was this is gonna be terrible. That movie Little Nicky with Adam Sandler.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he falls in love with Popeyes chicken. I'm like, what's Popeyes chicken? Was that made up or something? No, you just bite it and let it slide down your throat.
And that's why I told Colin. I thought maybe he had Bojangles because Bojangles. You ever had that one? I kind of like Popeyes. I know that's in North Carolina. That's a big one in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, cool deal.
All right, tangent over. 165. Peyton Mocko was your starter last season. The record isn't really in line with how he performed, I feel. He was 27 and 12, but he was very so-so. He lost a lot of close matches. He won a few close matches. But, I mean, when you come off a redshirt season where I think it was 9-0, it was cut short by injury, and your signature win of that redshirt season is David Carr – there's kind of expectations that you're going to transfer that over. I think he was a gymnast to start. And then he transitioned. Was. Who?
Mocko was?
Mocko, yeah. I think he was a gymnast, if I'm remembering that right. I think Askren talked about that once. That's why you always see like the cartwheels from him and the crazy moves. But he was number 25 in fantasy points last year. You also have Keegan O'Toole, number five recruit on Matt Scouts, coming in behind him. Now, Mako already used his redshirt, but does he start again? I'm thinking he probably does. He's already used that redshirt, so I'm thinking he's going to have to start. I don't think he qualifies for an Olympic or anything either.
No. That's going to be a very interesting battle. I think Mako and Keegan are kind of boys too. I think, you know, since they're both with Asker and they're kind of boys. Mm-hmm. I haven't been around Mako, but I've been around O'Toole a little bit, mm-hmm. and I am impressed. I think, I'm pretty impressed with O'Toole. His mind.
That kid's special.
He's special. he's very special. I think we go on a story tantrum here. We would go every year. We go to Chicago to wrestle in Oak Park River Forest. All right, and we go to Chicago and wrestle at Oak Park River Forest, and man, they and their school Arrowhead comes down, and it's crazy. They that kid Keegan O'Toole, I was just listening to him, like, yeah, he was kind of talking to his friends, like, yeah, I just can't wait to wrestle Josh Saunders, and I knew that day we're in trouble, you know, because most kids don't say that, right? You know, right. I could tell he was so excited to wrestle Josh. And, you know, not saying that Josh is very rare. I don't know if you ever met him, but, you know, he doesn't go to tournament to wrestle people. He just shows up. He doesn't really focus. But, like, this guy was here to wrestle Josh. Hey, hold on. My son is asking me something real quick. You mind going for a second?
Go for it.
Not too scared.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was saying, I've watched, actually, a couple matches of Keegan O'Toole's, and he decimated somebody last year who's number one. If you have that up, he looks unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I know he works with Askren a lot too, doesn't he? So
did he tech his opponent who's number one?
I think so.
I think he did, which is crazy.
Yeah. The thing though with the lineup, we're starting to get into a little bit of a logjam just forecasting out, because, yeah, you have Peyton Mako, who is a national – I think was he a national qualifier last season?
I'm not sure if Pete got there or not.
Yeah, he was. He was a national qualifier last season. You also have Keegan O'Toole. But then going up to 74, you have Jeremiah Kent, who was in himself was in a roster battle with Connor Flynn last year. Yeah. They kept going back and forth. And then you have Sean Harmon behind him too. And then kind of even looking further, 84 and 97, Marriott and Colleen respectively, they're in their senior years. They'll wrestle this year probably. But you have Rocky Elam and you have Colton Hawks waiting in the wings. So you're going to have those 5-6 guys for those four weights to kind of distribute. I don't know how you offset it or that I don't get paid the big bucks to know.
Well, I'll tell you this. Rocky Eagle's starting, brother. He's starting.
you think he's going right away really?
He's ready. Yeah, he's okay. Ready. The only way you're not starting him unless you're trying to save that whole freshman recruiting class.
Right.
You know, I think the only way he doesn't start is if the whole thing with COVID, if they want to make sure that, you know, he doesn't lose a year, they may redshirt him this year just because, you know, we may not have a season.
All right, so we're back. Something happened on my end that stopped recording, so we don't know where this stopped.
We're talking about Rocky Elam for sure.
Rocky Elam, going to be a starter, going to rock the world, no pun intended.
Yeah. He's starting, bro. Like I said, like Todd said, if he always doesn't start, it's because of COVID and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think because of the uncertainty of this year, I could see them redshirting Keegan O'Toole and Rocky Elam and the freshmen that they brought in with this great class that they recruited. I just don't think you want to get into a situation where they start half the season and then it gets canceled or something crazy like that, because it's such a good class. You want these guys to get all 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you can finish out some of these other upperclassmen and put them in this year and then, you know, save these guys for another year. Unless we do have the season, and then I could see Missouri wanting to put these guys in right away because they are difference makers.
And I think Rocky's going to be 97. That would be my thought. I didn't see that you already did 74 because I had to run and get the door because my son was yelling for me. But, you know, I think Jeremiah and Kent will get the call on there too.
So yeah, he last year I used him, and I actually drafted him in our Dynasty League. I think he is kind of a sleeping fantasy wrestling superstar because he had a 50% bonus rate. He had that. He was kind of rough around the edges. He got pinned a couple times when he probably shouldn't have been, but he put up bonus too.
He didn't start wrestling until his freshman year, and so he's always going to be rough around the edges. But I think, you know, now in that room, and then you add Rocky Elam. He actually beat Rocky Elam his senior year, and, like, it was
– Really?
Oh, yeah, he beat him, man. Like, and it was shocking. But I think that loss, even though Rocky may not like that loss, I think that turned Rocky into what he is now, mm-hmm. right?
So, good.
And but, yeah, no, Jeremiah Kent, when he, if he, you know, he stays in that room and figures it out, he's very late bloomer.
Yeah.
What does Missouri wind up doing with Sean Harmon in that situation?
That's a good one. I think I think them guys will battle it out for that spot. The thing is 84 to me, I think if Rocky goes 97, does Wyatt Kellen go down to 84? I think that might happen and give them a better lineup. Now I'm just assuming, yeah. I don't know.
Right.
But I could definitely see Rocky being a 97 before he's an 84.
Yeah,
go ahead, Todd. Sorry,
I was saying Rocky's a big dude. He's going to be a 97 pounder.
Yeah, I was just going based off of what WrestleStat had on there. I had him at 84, but obviously, you know, some people had AJ Ferrari at heavyweight. Some had him at 97. It's still way too early to even know.
Rocky wrestled at – a lot of people don't know this. He wrestled at the New York Athletic Club. Kevin Jackson took him, but he didn't enter in because he was too young for the senior division. They wouldn't let him do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he got to go there, and they actually did exhibition matches. And not the Brunky that's at Penn State now, but I guess the brother that's Brunky.
CJ?
That go to Princeton, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Rocky beat him.
CJ Brockie or Pat Brockie at Princeton?
The one that graduated already.
CJ Brockie.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. The one that beat Mark Hall. Haha.
Yeah. And
so Rocky by transitive property.
Yeah. And like Rocky has some big wins up there. Not only wrestled Brockie, he wrestled some other guys who he beat too. But like those were not recorded or written down. But I saw him. He beat some good dudes up there.
It's like Russian nationals. Nobody has video of it. It doesn't exist anywhere, but we all saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. That guy's a problem. Yeah. He's going to be a problem, buddy.
For Russian sure. wrestle offs.
He actually, Rocky beat my kid, Jack Dare, in the finals this year at state. Okay. I think it was like 7-2, 8-2. Yeah.
Now, being that you're a high profile coach, if you're given a situation of a lineup kind of logjam like this, do you usually say, look, we'll go to tournaments, we'll let this kind of – you guys kind of settle it among yourselves? Or how much does a coach get involved with?
College or high school-wise?
Let's say if you're a college coach.
College coach, I think ultimately I'm still going to figure out the best lineup, but I think they get to figure it out. To me, I mean, the only thing that matters is can you win in competition, right?
Right.
To me, I don't care nothing if you're beating somebody in a practice room. Can you do it when the money's on the line?
Right.
Right. So
practice room warriors don't really.
Practice room warriors don't give you that extra bonus as a college coach, right?
Right. So,
the job is, can you do it when the money's on the line? So I think the tournaments count more than anything. Like, can you beat them? Who places higher? Who does? I mean, who does the best at the open tournaments is what I would decide it on. Because then, you know, you got to look at your common opponents, who's going to get the bids, just in case they have a bad day. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, I would love to get in that situation to make the choice like that, but and high school wise, I try to do it like that. It's kind of hard because you don't get a lot of high school tournaments that let you enter multiple people.
Right.
And I'm a coach. I don't do wrestle offs. I don't. I tell everybody what weight they're going, and mom and dad have to be. I mean, I have so many parents get mad because my son need Josh Saunders' dad. Was his freshman year, I made him wrestle up, and he wanted to go down. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was nightmare. Every night I'm getting called and yelled at about it. I don't know what I'm doing. So then luckily he ended up winning it. So then he was on my side then. He actually beat Valdez. He beat Valdez. He pinned him in the finals.
It all comes full circle.
It always does. But yeah. So high school wise, I don't do wrestle offs. I've tried to figure out what's the lineup gonna get the best points. And I kind of think that's where wrestling should be. Mm-hmm. I think it's so hard when you say, well, you know, you wrestle somebody in practice, they end up knowing what you.
There's familiarity.
Yeah, so much familiarity. You know, my thing is, like the Ironman, I would love if Ironman let us take multiple peoples at the Walsh Ironman tournament in Ohio.
Yeah.
I would love if they let us take multiple people. That'd be awesome. Then I could put two kids in and see who actually is the best.
Right.
But like KCI, a tournament in Kansas City, they kind of let us do it every now and then.
Okay.
Which helps me out. That helps me out the most.
I wish I could do it your way, but I would get so many calls from parents if I didn't have that.
It's a headache, yeah, bro.
We're kind of the opposite. It's almost like at the end of the day, it's the coach's decision who starts and everything like that. But we do wrestle offs because look, you want the spot, wrestle off. This is kind of a non-biased, we don't have a hand in it kind of thing. But you know, work ethic and everything like that also plays a role in it. And
now, I agree. Like, if you don't want any complaints, let them wrestle off. Even then, you still might get some.
We
did a wrestle off before, and I still got complaints. It was like, my kid was cheated by the ref. I'm like, oh, my God. So, and it was so funny. When I first started coaching at CBC, I was co-head coach. So, I had my belief, and the other coach believed you should wrestle off. But he's like, well, how do you explain it? I'm like, well, how do you explain it in football? I mean, you just tell them, this kid's better, this kid's not. And usually, though, it's never somebody's better or not. It's just, in my eyes, it's like, who do I need at this weight class? Because usually all your good kids, you got to have them in the lineup.
You're right.
And it's just usually people are fighting for the same weight. And somebody has to go up and somebody has to cut weight. So
yeah. My whole issue with the whole weight wrestle-off thing is we have kids that are obviously the starters, but we have these parents that are pushing their kids to wrestle off. And I know what the outcome's going to be.
Right.
But we got to take a half of practice to run all these wrestle-offs off.
And, for kids, and that's a waste of time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing, because I think it's a waste of time. I'm like, dude, we gotta get better. You know, go show me. You know, go to one of these tournaments and go beat some good people. Then I can actually take you serious,
right? and then the whole weight thing too. We have kids that or parents that don't want the kids to lose the weight, even though the computer says you can safely make this weight. That's the whole purpose of the whole thing. But you know, oh, my son didn't eat all day. Okay. All right.
Yeah, do that 3 more days and you'll get to where I was.
Yeah.
Right. I never cut weight, but I know the stories of and what I've seen from my day to this day and age is totally different.
Oh yeah. Well, I was the last class, I think, of the 50-50 rule in PA. I don't know if they had that in Missouri or whatever. Well,
you had to have your matches at your lowest weight.
Right. Yeah. So I literally looked at the rest of the competition. I looked at projecting out what like my section was going to be. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it out of sections unless I go, I was 52 at the time. I was like, unless I go down to 40, 45. And I was like, it was a day before the match. I had less than 24 hours. And I think I was like 8 pounds over 145. And I, back in the days of AOL instant message, I messaged the guy up 45. I'm like, hey, I'm going 45 for our dual meet against St. Joe's Prep. And he's like, really? And he, no shade, but he wasn't good. Right. So he was like, yeah, cool. I'll go up to 152. And I ended up cutting 8 pounds in less than 24 hours, made weight safely. I didn't do a sauna. I didn't do anything like that. All I remember is stepping on the line and both my calves just kind of seizing immediately.
But exactly what you said, though, usually the kids will work it out before I even have to get involved in it.
Right.
You know, because they already kind of know the rule. And then, like, this year, I probably gonna have to do a parent meeting on it because I got more new people. Mm-hmm. But so I have to kind of draw the line at the beginning of the year. Then then you got a parent coach. So that always kind of makes it interesting, right?
Right. Well, let's wrap up with 285. This is Zach Elam's weight if he wants it. Last year, he was on Olympic redshirt. So technically, he wasn't counted when it came to fantasy points because that was one of the stipulations in the WrestleStat. Rules. If you're on an Olympic, you don't technically count towards fantasy points, but he was 16-2 with a 55% bonus rate. He lost to Cassiope and Hokett. I think was it Midlands? Or he was at some,
Midlands. I thought it was Midlands.
Midlands.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously depending on this year, maybe he takes another Olympic red shirt. He still has a regular red shirt available. But if he ends up skipping this year again, you have Rodrigo Diaz, who's going to be a senior. So a good senior send off.
Diaz is from Guatemala, right? That's because me and him, we were at Pan Am's and he was at wrestling for Team Guatemala and he knew who I was and we started talking.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure he does. Yeah. Yeah. He wrestled for Guatemala.
Oh, okay. Well, he was 22 and 12 last season. Now, his bonus rate wasn't stellar. It was 12%. You like to see that at least a quarter. But
I bet you he's Olympian for Guatemala. Watch.
Watch. You get two Olympic red shirts in the weight for him. Brian Smith is tearing out his hair. But, yeah, I mean, all in all, I think Missouri has a very good lineup, even if they do have to redshirt or Olympic redshirt a bunch of guys due to the pandemic. I still think they put together a very competitive team this coming season.
How crazy is heavyweight going to be going forward with all these guys? I mean,
this is the best heavyweight class our country, I think, has ever produced as far as, like, wrestling. There's some good ones out there. And there's some good ones at Division II and NAIA level as well.
Yeah. We need to get rid of the Hasselrig rule and get some of those guys in the U-1 tour.
It's a kid from what's the school in NAIA in Kentucky? Oh man, I forgot that school's name. But he wrestled Elam at the Lindenwood Open. I mean, he gave Elam all he wanted. Elam just had like three stalling calls in the first period that kind of for him that helped him out, because when this kid Lindsey Wilson, I guess, is that the school name?
Let me see. I'm bringing up his stuff now.
But this heavyweight, he's good, man. He beat a lot of dudes.
Let's see. And Brandon Reed, was that it?
I think so. Yeah, from Kentucky.
Yep. Elam won 15-8, but the score could have been a lot closer at some point. Yeah.
It was like the first period, Elam got off. Like, he took him down. And, you know, Elam's cradle is his cradle is golden, right?
Oh, yeah.
The kid would just lay flat and try to – get away from the cradle. I mean, that kid, like, one more stalling call, he was about to get stalled out. And then after it finally started, you know, he started wrestling. He's good. But, this is the best heavyweight class, I think, ever. I mean, you know, do you think who would have thought that Gable wouldn't have a national title by now, right?
I know. Crazy. Absolutely. I mean, it's a great story with Kasser at Penn State. You know, his first year technically starting, he wins a national championship. But Gable, Paris, Hilger, Kirklett, Cassiope.
Is Hilger back for another one, or is he was he a senior?
He was always
Hilger's a junior, incoming junior. Yeah.
What?
I know, it's crazy. See, and then you have Tate Orndorff, and you have
Stencil.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's since Stencil is the Central Michigan kid.
Yeah,
he's tough. He's
Wood's coming back.
Wood is coming back his senior year.
He's at Lehigh, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I think and Elam for sure, I think, is definitely a threat to either win or be on the podium. But man, it's gonna be some battles.
It's a good maybe 12 guys deep that are AA contenders.
I think, you know, since we're talking about Missouri, I think the good thing for Missouri is Don Bradley is back. Like, Don Bradley is like Missouri's beloved son. Everybody here loves Don Bradley. And Don Bradley has been around the Elam boys since they were like 5 and 6. So I think that relationship with them gets them over the top. You know what I'm saying? You feel good. You feel good about the people you're around. I think that relationship really helped get Zach over the top. And, I mean, everywhere Dom goes to train, Zach is with him.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in team camaraderie and team chemistry being like an X factor almost. Yeah. And I think a lot of that also deals not just with a head coach, but who you have as an assistant too. Kendrick Maple and Dom Bradley as your assistants. After having Clemson there, and now Clemson's at Maryland, and hopefully Maryland, you know, their program picks up from where it was. Unfortunately, you know, they kind of lag behind the rest of the Big Ten. But I mean, you look at some of the other places like Purdue having Daniel Lewis on staff. I'm sure that's helped Schroeder with his cradle and Schaaf too.
Yeah,
Cradle Central in
that
Purdue.
Is cradle guys, right there, bro. Schaaf, man, how he rides with like hooking that back foot and putting his knee on your elbow.
Yep.
Man, that ride is just so honoring.
He has go-go gadget arms. That's why it works. But awesome. So we usually wrap up with three random questions. You okay? Are we still good on time? Sure. Real quick.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. My son tried to throw me off. I tell him I'm busy.
We got a podcast to record that six people want to listen to.
Hey, did you see Askren and Hawani going off on each other? He was like, Hawani saying that Askren do the most podcasts that nobody's listened to.
I didn't see that part. It's true. He basically, from the Flow Radio, they have he has the TV in his studio or whatever. He just changes the channel. Channel one's probably Flow in the morning, and then he changes to the Funky Crypto Podcast.
Yeah, You guys are about that crypto, man. One of my kids, Alex Furlagi, he's all about that cryptocurrency.
Oh, geez.
Bitcoin.
I don't know. I'm an old soul. I like to have something jingle in my hand, you know, that I can actually count, you know.
I'll tell you guys that one of my best friends, Mark Snyder, his wife, Emily, is the CEO of Coinbase.
Oh, she's probably doing okay.
Yeah, she's doing pretty well.
and not that I'm into this, but I know a lot of drug dealers do like the Bitcoin and stuff.
Can't trace it.
it's using it left and right.
It's going to be one of those futuristic, you know, sci-fi movies that you just hold up phones to each other and just you pass all this stuff. I don't know. I'm used to the Game Boy game era where you had the cord that had to connect the two and just. All right. First question. Waffles, pancakes, or French toast?
Waffles, pancakes, or French toast?
You wake up, you get your OJ, you get your coffee.
Pancakes, baby. Blueberry.
Ooh, blueberry pancakes.
Blueberry, yeah.
I'm going to go French toast. You get a good French toast that's not oversaturated, that's cooked just right with bananas and walnuts. I'm in heaven.
You're trying to kill me. I'm allergic to walnuts.
Oh, well, you can get it without the walnuts, just the bananas. What about you, Todd?
Waffle for me, but I'll preface that with it has to be a Belgian waffle.
Oh,
I can't have a Belgian waffle. I'm going pancakes, but
going Dr. Evil on them.
Yeah, but if I can get like a nice thick Belgian waffle, man, that's one of my favorite things to eat. It really is.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite treats. I got it when I was at the Wildwood Boardwalk when I was like 10 years old. I try to do it every time I can. Ice cream, whether it be cookies and cream or Neapolitan, you get two waffles. You toast them. And then you put ice cream in the middle and you make a little sandwich out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I had one of your arteries, but it's wonderful.
I had one of those this year at the beach, actually, Ocean City, Jersey.
So good. So
waffle
good.
Waffle ice cream.
That sounds good. They got an ice cream place around here that serves ice cream and alcohol in it.
Oh.
Had that yet? Yeah. So I forgot the name of it.
Both our ears perked up with
it. Yeah. It's a company. I guess it's one out here and they have one downtown St. Louis. So they have like alcohol ice cream mixed together.
Nice. In Wilmington, Delaware, they do like an annual St. Anthony's Festival, an Italian festival.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Good time. And Italian music that all the old people are dancing to. But they had the mango or lemonade water ice. And you can get alcohol with it too. You can do vodka or you can do rum or something like that. But you have cops walking around, you know, obviously just patrolling. But these guys with the water ice, it's floating in the cup with all the alcohol that they're putting in. And I'm like, Dad, what? When I was younger, I was like, how can they put that much alcohol? It's like six shots worth. They're like, I'm sure, you know, they get it, you know, a cup at some point from them. All right, second question. What do you trust more, fish at a steakhouse or steak at a fish restaurant?
Fish at a steakhouse or steak at a fish restaurant? Ooh, that's a good, I got a story for this too. I'm gonna go, you gotta trust fish at a steak restaurant more. So in 2012, we were in Thailand. And
no story starts off great.
We were in Thailand and it was Mike Haggerty. No, Mike Haggerty didn't go. It was me, Jason Bryant, because Jason Bryant gives me crap about this all the time. Les Gutches. I want to say, I think Rich Bender was there. Cody Bickley. A lot of big wigs were there. And we went to this 5-star restaurant in Thailand. And at this point, it's almost towards the end of the trip. And I've been eating rice and fish all day. And so we go there, and everybody else is getting more rice. I'm like, I'm so tired of rice. And, you know, my stomach was always upset here. And I was like, man, can I just get a burger? So they give me crap because I ordered a burger at this famous Thai restaurant. And the burger tastes like crap, by the way.
Nice. So,
yeah.
All right, Todd. Fish at a steak restaurant or steak at a fish restaurant? Mess that up? I don't even know.
I would probably say fish at a steak restaurant.
Yeah.
I think I would trust more.
I wouldn't say the same because I don't know. The steak, they probably, I don't know. Something about fish at a steakhouse, I'm okay with. Because you can still, like, a steakhouse is used to smoking the meats, and there's different, I don't know. It just.
Steak has to be cooked right, man. You got to, you know, medium rare is a good deal. You know, steak's got to be like, steak is something people take pride in here in America. So you got to got to cook a steak right. Fish, I think you can deep fry, you can do it different ways, but you know, a good steak, you don't need to put nothing on it.
Yeah, just
exactly.
And I, you know what? I didn't learn that until I met Bobby Douglas. That's all he loved to eat a steak. I didn't even know that. Because I, you know, like in my house, my mom used to cook steak. It was like friggin' grinded, well done. Bobby Douglas was like, no, son, you can't eat steak like that. You got to eat it like this.
Well, my wife's pregnant. We're due in a couple weeks. And unfortunately, she loves dippy eggs. She loves her steak medium rare. But because of the pregnancy, you can't have that. So she's been, apparently you can't have like medium rare meat. Yeah, you can't have soft boiled eggs or everything's gotta be cooked all the way through. So I'm there cutting my steak and it's bleeding all over the place. You know, it's still mooing at me, but but hers, she's like just chewing at it, trying to get through it.
Gotta have a steak a certain way, baby.
All right, to round it out, all food questions, why not? Hot dogs or hamburgers? Well, we know you like hamburgers.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to go burger. I'm a burger guy. I definitely love burgers, man. I like hot dogs because of the conveniency of how it is, right? You just go, arch.
Right. What about you, Todd?
That's a really tough one, man. I really like a good hot dog, but I'll probably have to go burger, just kind of inches away from hot dog.
Yeah. If I get like a Chicago dog or something, if I can put all the stuff in it, there's a good place in Chicago that when we used to go every couple years, we go to Chicago. Portillo's was famous for their hot dogs. You could get everything in there, peppers and everything.
Ohio and Cleveland, I forgot the name of this hot dog, but I had friends who were from Ohio, so we used to go up there at spring break. The hot dog had the hot dog, French fries, coleslaw. I think it's called Freddy. I think it was Freddy's hot dog. I think it was, baby. And man, this thing was so huge. And I don't know if you remember, Senior Nationals used to be there.
Yeah.
So, and I was assistant coach and I took my head coach. I'm like, man, you got to try these hot dogs out. He's like, I never seen a hot dog this huge. I think it was called Freddy's, man. It had like hot sauce on it, ketchup.
It's like one of those crazy Bloody Marys that they put like eight different things on the skewer.
So the Chicago dog don't have nothing on that, but I do like the Chicago dogs.
Now, Cornell, when you were coaching still at Cheney, did you ever have a Jimmy John's?
No, I didn't.
It was right on 202. It was one of those really old restaurants.
Now, hold on. We got to preface this because people hear Jimmy John's, they think the sandwich place.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So in right the, what is it, Wilmington Pike, 202?
Okay,
yeah. Route 202. There were five things when Route 202 first opened up between Westchester and Wilmington. And one of which was this little shack that used to sell hot dogs, hamburgers, and root beer. And his name was Jimmy John. So it's a little hot dog place called Jimmy John's. It's still here. And there was like a Sunoco and a couple retail stores, and Jimmy John's were the five things on Route 202. And only Jimmy John's is the only one standing in like 75 years or something like that, or 100 years. Yeah. So it's still there. Jimmy John's is good. They do the hot dogs with the skin still on it, so it gets a little bit of a crunch when you bite into it. Oh, so good.
I didn't have it. I know I had Geno's for sure. I went down to Philly and you had Geno's. I was always down in Philly.
Well, next time you come up, Jimmy John's on us.
Yeah, Jimmy John. It was another place that was around the corner from the school, and man, they had some of the best cheese. It was, to me, it was better than Geno's. It was a cheese steak.
You had peppermill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That place was good.
Still good. Really good cheese steaks.
Oh my God. That's like on Saturdays, because we'll end up losing, and by the time we got back home, I always went there on Sundays and just sat in my room and ate. A peppermill, man. How do we get a cheesesteak from there? Man, that was so good.
The food will bring you back, you know.
Yeah. You know, especially I'm a food connoisseur.
Right. So. And I don't think I answered. I would go hamburger. Good hot dog. I love, or I might have said hot dog. I like them both. I would say if I can't get a big hamburger lengthwise, like width-wise, I don't like burgers that are real thick. Like, give me one that's a little bit bigger in size than it is tall, because then it just squirts everywhere. It just becomes, it's hot liquid. It burns you. It's terrible.
Hey, I got a random question. So what style pizza do you like?
New York.
Yeah, New York. Yeah.
Okay, you guys, you had Chicago style?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of the deep dish. I don't. I love cheese. My heart is, you know, has trouble beating because I love cheese so much. but I like a good typical crispy style, not thin crust, a good good New York style piece.
I do like Chicago style too. I prefer New York style, but I'd like a nice deep dish every once in a while too.
Yeah. When we go to that tournament in Chicago where I was talking about where Josh wrestled Keegan O'Toole. Mm-hmm. So the tournament, we're done by like 4 o'clock and I have the kids all day. It's like our last tournament of the year before districts. And so I take everybody to Giordano's in Chicago and we go there and pig out. This pizza is so good.
Now I'll say, I have one thing against Midwest pizza, and because Elizabethtown, where I wrestled Division III, there was the Wheaton Invitational. And I got to go one time. I was not worthy of going, but I got to go because I think the starter had a skin issue or something like that. So we go, our coach picks up pizza. He opens it up. It's a circle pizza, but it's cut into the squares.
He
had never seen it before. I had never seen it before. He opens it up. He goes, "What the fuck is this?" Because we had a terrible day at the tournament, you know, our top guy like lost or something like that. But he always did, "What the? Oh my god!"
So I take it, have you had Emos yet?
I think we did have Emos.
Okay, that's a St. Louis pizza, right? Emos. That's a St. Louis deal. So that's what Wheelie Sailor is always saying he doesn't like.
I thought you were talking Chicago. I'm sorry. I haven't had Emos.
I mean, they may have it in Emos. I mean, Emos is pretty like nationwide, but yeah, it's mainly a St. Louis pizza and it's very like a thin crust, but it's like a provolone cheese, so that's a St. Louis deal there.
My wife and her family is from Scranton. Has family in Scranton, you know, by The Office famous, and they have this pizza place that they swear by. Oh, this is the greatest pizza in the place. It's all American cheese, and I took a bite of it. I was like, I don't look it. I look more Irish than I look Italian. I'm full-blooded Italian. I need mozzarella on my pizza. That's just how I gotta go.
It's you gotta have the cheese blend. You gotta have it blended first.
Yeah, I would take a blend. I would do a blend. Yeah. But just straight American. It was like a stuffed pizza. It was like an inch thick of just American cheese. I'm like,
That was the one time, Anthony, you and I in New York had five napkin burger.
Yes.
Which was fantastic.
That was delicious. We made a trek out of the way just to go to Five Napkin Burger. It somehow was cheaper than the beer and gin and tonic that we had. That was like $25 in New York City.
My God, I don't know how anybody lives in New York.
I got to really go to New York this year for the New York Athletic Club, man. It's so crowded. I see why the virus broke out there so fast.
You're shoulder to shoulder with everybody. Nobody can really move. You just like
Philly felt like that a little bit too, though. I mean, I saw Philly's Philly. I was like, man, how do these people park in the middle of the street like this?
Oh, don't get me started with street parking. I can't. That's why I live out here in Glen Mills. I don't have to worry about that.
Oh my God, South Philly was crazy.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. We got to talk about a lot of different tangents. We got to talk about Missouri. Where can everybody find you?
Well, we're on twice a week on the Money Round podcast. You can check that out. And if not, you can hit me up, The Money Coach. You said you try to hit me up on Twitter, The Money Coach.
I try. It's probably on me. Don't anything that I do, don't trust it. You can
always hit me on there or find me on The Money Round on Instagram and hit me up on there. And yeah, man, I'm glad you guys have me. I got to have you on my podcast now to return the favor.
Absolutely.
Love to.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks, everybody, for clicking. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time. See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.